all the way up to the neck, and the other one he'd kind of unzip about 6 or 7 inches and let his belly hang out just a bit. Now, Bobby lived at the place that was Maureen's first stop, and he rode the bus every single day, whether he had any place to go or not. And it was the same always. He'd be standing out there waiting. She'd pull up and open the door, and he'd hop on, and he'd say, "Hi, Maureen. What'd you do last night?" She'd say, "Well, I went into Denver to see a play. I went to see a Chorus Line." And Bobby would say, "Lucky duck, lucky duck." And the next day, it was the same. He would hop on that bus and plop down in that seat right behind her, and he'd say, "Hi, Maureen, what'd you do last night?" She'd say, "Well, I went to the laundromat. I went and washed my clothes." And he'd say, "Lucky duck, lucky duck." And day after day, it was the same. And after 2 or 3 weeks, she was really irritated with this, you know. "How'd you do last night? What'd you do last night?" But for some reason, right along between the 3rd and 4th week, she realized that her attitude started to change. She started to look forward to Bobby getting on that bus. And she also realized it changed the way that she looked at whatever she did after work, because she knew no matter what it was that Bobby was going to think that she was pretty much of a lucky duck. Sometimes they would talk about why it was that she was a lucky duck, and they talked about going to the laundromat, and he said, "Well, you get to go see those clothes go around and around and see all those people." And Bobby thought that was pretty lucky. Now, she knew that he did not have an idyllic life, that things were really rough for him a lot of the time. But she also knew that he had a gift. He had a gift of looking at things that most might think were very ordinary. He looked at them through eyes that made a specialness that just kind of elevated everyday life. Now, she had told a lot of her friends that year stories about Bobby. And one of her favorite events happened on her birthday. Her friends decided to give her a surprise birthday party. And when she walked into the room where they were all gathered, everyone had on paper-webbed duck feet and duck bills, and they all hollered out, "Maureen, you're a lucky duck." And I feel like, you know, being here at Augusta this whole week in this beautiful region, hearing all this music, all of us pretty much are lucky ducks. And I know when I first heard that story, one of my friends was at that party, and they went into downtown Denver afterwards with their webbed duck feet and bills and walked all around. And when I first heard about Bobby and Lucky Duck, what I wanted to do right away is to be able to tell somebody that they were a lucky duck. So why don't you do that? Why don't you just turn to the person next to you and tell them, "Lucky duck." Y'all have been a great audience tonight. I'm going to end on a helpful hint for you. I do happen to have some cassettes downstairs. There's 5, and some are more appropriate for teenagers and adults. There's one scary one called Chillers that really is only for adults. So no matter how much your first grader or second grader tells you they like ghost stories, do not get that. At least don't play it for them. If you get it for yourself, that's okay. But there's some age limits down there, though, on the tapes, others that are very appropriate for all ages. So you can take a look. I also have 2 videos down there, one that's a half-hour performance video for the younger children, actually up through about 5th grade, maybe 1st grade up through about 5th grade, and the other is a workshop for teachers and librarians. So, and I think we kind of ran out of one of the cassettes, but some more are being sent. So if you do end up getting anything, and check out that store. They've got some great CDs and cassettes and spoons and lots of different things, T-shirts down there, and that all that helps support the performers and also Augusta. So see what you can do about looking around down there. There's a lot going on this week, and we hope you'll come back. I want to thank the sound folks and the light people, Wally, and also Bill, and thank my introducer, the hammer dulcimer. Actually, that hammer dulcimer's worked in very well with the stories. It's doing good. So I'll give you this helpful hint. This is actually one from my partner, Barbara Freeman, and so whenever I do it, I kind of feel like she's almost on stage with me, so you get a little bit of a sense of who she is. It's in case you go and have a snack at one of those dances tonight, or maybe once you're back in your room or back home. Do you know how to get peanut butter off of the roof of your mouth? A few of you might know. Now, you know how it is when you're eating a big old peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And the jelly tends to come out of your mouth and down your chin and neck and sometimes onto your shirt or dress. But the peanut butter stays on the roof of your mouth. Well, to get peanut butter off of the roof of your mouth, you have got to find a spoon. You take the spoon and you scrape it all along the top of the roof of your mouth until the peanut butter is entirely off of the roof of your mouth and entirely onto the spoon. Now, to get peanut butter off the spoon, this part, as we say in Spanish, is muy fácil, very easy. You just take your finger, run it all along the cup and the rim of the spoon until the peanut butter is entirely off of the spoon and entirely onto your finger. Now, to get peanut butter off of your finger, I can hear what you're thinking. Now, some folks try this. You can tell it doesn't work. Others try this. Not very effective. I guess the best thing to do is just to take your finger and place it into your mouth. Maybe that wasn't the best thing to do, because then you have peanut butter on the roof of your mouth, and you're going to have to find a spoon. Thank you very much.